Hello, my name is Judy Marie with Miracles of Health, and we have a very special podcast to present to all of you today from Maui High. I'm currently in Maui with two special guests, Kathy McDuff and her husband, Rich Lucas. I've known Kathy and Rich for several years on many of my travels here to Maui. They have been very inspiring in the wisdom and the walk that they do in their own life and helping not only the area here in Maui, but the planet worldwide, which we're going to hear a little bit more from them about that. Kathy, in particular, is an energy worker who works from the central sun and source of light. And Rich is an Arcturian healer, and he'll be able to describe that a little further. I'm going to first introduce Kathy and talk about different aspects of healing. And also for anyone who is, and I think everyone is in this transition of the shift, the ascension, the healing from one density to another. But these two people are amazing friends, and as well as the light and the love that they have for helping anyone and everyone on this planet is absolutely magnificent. So right now, Kathy, what I'd like you to do is just describe a little bit clearer for anyone listening again. What does that mean, working directly with the energy from the sun and source with what you do?
Aloha. What I do is allow the pure energy that comes in through the central sun and sometimes through source to go through me and out to help whatever has to work that needs to be done with humanity. Sometimes I work with forming the grids. Sometimes I work with connecting the grids. And sometimes I work with grounding energy into Mother Maui. Other times when specific requests have been done, we send energy directly to people. But usually it's without intent and to just allow your body to be a conduit of the energy coming through.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. And Rich has his own gifts that he shares as well here on Maui and to many others. And can you describe that a little bit, Rich?
Sure, Judy. Thank you. Kathy's work is a lot more complicated and powerful energetically than the work that I do. But I work primarily with individuals who have certain elements of dis-ease in their bodies and help them focus their own healing abilities toward whatever conditions or symptoms that they have. One of the things that we recognize is that we all possess the ability to heal ourselves. That's innately within our spirits. But often we get so distracted that it's hard to just focus those gifts that we have internally toward whatever it is that we need in our physical existence. So what we try to do is to create a space, a safe space, where people can focus that energy that they have internally and work on the various aspects of physical discomfort or malfunction that they have.
So, Rich, I remember several months ago during the summer when I had contacted you and Kathy, and I was going through a real challenging experience and time, and for several nights, several evenings, you two did some amazing work for me, which really calmed everything down. And so when you were doing that, what were you doing?
I'm trying to recall specifically, Judy, because there's not like a regimen that we follow.
Prayer, or you?
Well, in the work that I was doing, I just go into a deep meditation. try to connect with the person that's requested assistance. And as I said, try to create a space where the various energy that is needed to help address their problems comes in. And it's mostly about quieting the mind, about just sitting in a very quiet space and allowing the information to come in. And depending on the kind of information that comes in, we will, you know, try to direct certain energy levels within that space that will be supportive of the healing work that the person is doing themselves. So it's not like a routine or regimen that can be followed with each individual. It's more intuitive. And it's really, I guess, tapping into the energy that the person has within themselves, and to help them, you know, find that and express that healing ability that they have.
And speak about the colors and the chambers that you work with.
So Kathy was mentioning, as an Octorian healer and working with the colors and the chambers, wow.
I experience different levels of energy as different colors. And this was something that I was instructed in by a Maori healer in New Zealand, who shared with me the routines that she follows in doing healing. Just a wonderful lady, very generous in helping me along and instructing me. But when you get into that quiet space where the chaos kind of subsides and you can focus on what's really going on with the person, the types of energy, and in my instance, the colors of energy will present themselves. And my work is to try to encourage and, to the extent that I can, intensify those different levels of energy so that the person can work with them. Arcturians are well known for having healing chambers on their ships. And in difficult situations, I will make a request of the Arcturians to take the person up to the ships and put them into the healing chambers to work with them using that technology as well.
Wow, this is magnificent. And share with us, Kathy, in conjunction to what Rich was saying too about the levels of healing that are really expanding now, and the ascension and the fifth dimension and more that is opening up to people, and especially those that are really being challenged and struggling right now. This is part of the podcast, is to how can we support and inspire and teach those that are listening right now? What hope can you share with them?
Well, the one thing I would suggest right away is to cut off, if you're struggling at this moment, to cut off outside access to the TV, to internet, to everything else, and essentially shut down and go within. And once you go within, you're going to realize who you are and what it is about you that needs to where the work needs to happen. You don't need to find that from outside. You need to find that from inside. And right at this moment, for I believe the priority of everyone at this moment is to go inside and to heal themselves, not all four bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, and to step out of the fourth dimension, which we are in, and step into the fifth dimension, and to realize that all you have to do to attain that is to want it and to believe. And you don't need someone else teaching you how to do that, because your journey is going to be different from whoever's someone else that you're turning to for that information. Whether it's the most famous guru in the world, or if it's the person next door, your journey is not going to be the same. and you need to look inside for your answers and to start working with your higher selves instead of the outside gurus.
Wow, that's pretty significant, because we have so much external stimulation and that wanting to be validated from somebody else's opinion or from somebody else's way of doing things, beliefs. And when I came on the island, and a few days ago when I reached out to both of you, we were sitting at breakfast, you gave me some pretty specific direction in the sense of when I was asking, you know, different things I'm sorting out, and you were saying about both of you, Rich, you were saying to go direct. So let's have you tell everybody that, if you don't mind sharing that again.
Your answers are all within you. You have the answers to everything in the universe to just ask. If you ask someone a question, and the answer that comes from them may come from within them, but it may just come from the one. And that's what the grids are about that are being put together right now, the grids that were here before. It's to make all of that information available. You don't need to read a book. You don't need to ask Buddha what the answer is, although Buddha probably has the answer, but you don't need to ask that, because all of us, every single being, not just human, but every kingdom of Mother Earth right now has all the answers available, and all you have to do is ask.
And Rich, you were talking about how quick things are happening right now.
The energy levels are so high right now, and we're seeing things happen in quick succession. One of the things we were talking about is the fact that we're sort of programmed. So when we want to go from point A to point B, like on a road trip, the first thing we do is we pull out a map. Then it's somebody else's drawing of how you get from A to B. And that's certainly one way of getting from A to B. But your whole focus then is making sure that the road that you're on matches the number that's on the map. Another way of doing it is to get on the road and start watching the signposts, looking at things along the way, really taking in where you are and what the journey is about. And by incorporating the information you get from the signs, you find your way to point B, but you've also had a remarkable journey along the way. And that's one of the things that we have seen accelerating, and that is that things manifest so quickly now. When we think of something, we turn around and it's happening, and it's just almost instantaneous. And you can write that off to coincidence, you can, you know, consider that serendipity, or you can just focus on paying very intense attention to what's going on, and you will see the validation that you've asked for just in the day-to-day things that happen. You know, when you mention something, for example, you know, Kathy and I have had an experience where one of us will mention a word, and it'll be sort of an obscure word that we haven't used in years and years, and within the next 24 hours, we'll see that word multiple times. It'll either be in print, it'll be in a movie, it'll be in a conversation that we have with somebody else. And it's not coincidence. It's the fact that we have invested energy and attention into that word, and that reverberates, you know, within the cosmos, and it comes back. And it's, you know, a way of, I think, telling us, look, you're on the right track, okay? We're just giving you little clues that, you know, you're not being ignored, that what you're doing, what you're focusing on is something that you need to focus on, and, you know, we're going to give you little encouragements along the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. And everybody has their own destiny. We were talking in the car on the way up here about everyone has their own perfect journey, and trying to remember what that is right now. There's a lot unfolding and a lot of those unknowns that are happening to people. People's lives literally are being changed so intensely and fast right now. Would you like to talk a little more about that, Kathy?
Well, I think that's why we're getting so much instruction to stay in the now moment. And that's easy to do, and it's hard to do. Because as you stay in the now moment, you have to let go of the past, you have to let go of the worry for the future. And that's what we're programmed to do. We've been programmed our whole life to walk down this path, to do what we're supposed to do, and this is our goal in life, and if we didn't get to that goal, we've failed. Well, it's not the end that's the importance, it's staying in the now moment. And if you're in joy and you're in a passionate type of moment, then you're where you're supposed to be. And there's no reason to question it. There's no reason to say, why am I here and I'm not here? It's that if you're in joy, then you're where you're supposed to be. And each of our passions and each of our missions are different. We each came down with a unique gift to work with on this very important journey. I mean, my understanding is that most of the people who are alive on Earth today are masters. There were people standing in line to be a part of this particular quote-unquote lifetime, since there is no time. But we are here to do what we're supposed to do. And if you feel joy and you feel passion, then you're on your path and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're not, you're feeling uncomfortable, you're feeling guilty, you're feeling any of the negative emotions, then you're not in your now moment and you're not on your path. And that's your key. If you're happy and you're feeling like this is where I'm supposed to be, then you are where you're supposed to be. There's no sense judging. There's no sense trying to determine which is right and which is wrong, because there is no right and wrong. We stepped into duality on purpose to do the experience for one, and now we're stepping out of duality, and we don't need the black and white. We don't need the right and wrong anymore. We don't need judgment. All we need to do is to just step into who we are and treat everyone else. The golden rule. That's it. If there's one rule that really made it through the Bible and through all the edits, it's the golden rule. And if we live that and we become that, then all of us are going to go back into the mold and the one that we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I think what Kathy just said is incredibly important, because if you can trust your own internal knowledge, what you brought with you into this lifetime, to know whether you are proceeding on the path or if you've sort of swerved off of the path, that's going to be your best indication of how you're doing. As Kathy said, you know, we are so tied up in this time-centered view of existence. And we believe that whenever something happens, there was a cause that preceded it. And cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. And because of that, as soon as we see an effect, we start to speculate as to what the cause was. And we also speculate as to, well, you know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And then doubt starts seeping in, and then fear starts seeping in, and we lose our center. We become unbalanced because we have all of these questions that really aren't relevant to what we're doing. The important thing is to try to stay on that path. And, you know, as you're going along your path, and it's hard for us to do. We struggle with this each day because we're sort of programmed to think in 3D reality. And so when we have a destination in mind and all of a sudden we find ourselves off what we thought was the path to the destination, we can respond to it in one of two ways. We can say, oh, what did I do? What did I do wrong here? Why am I off the path? How do I correct it? Or we can trust our own intuition, we can trust our own knowledge of the fact that our path is laid out for us. And how we follow that path is up to us. But ultimately, the path is what we're going to take. And so when we veer off of it, we can respond by thinking, this is really going to be interesting to see how this little diversion actually becomes part of the path that I'm on anyway. And so instead of going into fear and doubt, we kind of go into this excited state about, wow, this is something that's going to be intriguing, and I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this resolves and ultimately becomes an important part of the path that I know that I'm on.
I really like that, because it takes away the shame, the guilt, the blame, putting down. It just stays inspiring. It is part of this ongoing journey and making these unknown changes, but when they come in directly, you want to act upon them. A lot of people just still might not act upon them, and which brings up, I think, a cute, amazing, inspiring story. I know you two have shared it with me a couple times, but you were originally two attorneys in Denver, Colorado. So if you could just share a few minutes of what that was like when you literally were taken from there to here.
Well, I have to go back a little bit further. Starting at the age of 3, I knew I was supposed to live on Maui. I had visions of Maui, and I could see it. I just didn't know what it was. I just knew that was home. And as I grew older, I still hadn't gone to Hawaii, but I could feel this is where I was supposed to be. And in my interim journey to Colorado, where I met Rich, was beautiful. And that's where I was supposed to be there for many reasons. And that's where I started my spiritual path. And I was studying law, and I loved the study of law. I loved being part of law, especially environmental law and Native American law and the things that I felt I could use for civil injustice. That was what was important to me. But at the same time, I hated the conflict associated with law, where you had to fight someone else to win. So I didn't enjoy that part. I just loved the studying of law itself, which brought me into the study of loving the environment, finding a way to fight for Mother Earth and to fight for what she needed at that time, and to become an activist, an environmental activist, which in turn made me come into who I was, because I remembered who I was by remembering Mother Earth and bonding with Mother Earth and going into Mother Earth and grounding into Mother Earth. And I can thank the law for that. When it was time to leave, literally within 1 week, we shut down our practice and decided it was time to come to Maui. We knew. And the minute we got here, the minute we got off the plane, for me anyway, I was home.
Well, Kathy pays attention to things like that. And so I'm fortunate because she sort of drags me along as well. Kathy's really in tune to the energies and what they're telling us. And I trust her sense of that without question. So when she said, okay, it's time, we're supposed to be on Maui, we packed up and came here. And of course, it was absolutely the right decision.
Wow. So what I want to say, what you didn't say about the beautiful piece of property you're on, and oh my goodness, your view and that land that came to you.
Well, it's one of those wonderful coincidences, because when we first came out, we weren't really intending to buy a piece of property right away. We were going to look around and see what was available and see what the market was and just, take time to make a decision. I mean, we knew what part of the island we wanted to be on. We were well acquainted with the haiku community, loved the people there, loved the land. And it sort of fit within the parameters of what we wanted, which was a certain elevation above sea level and a certain amount of rainfall each year so we could grow the kinds of things we wanted to grow on the land. And when we got here, we drove around and we looked at various pieces of property. And this one particular piece of property, we came and we looked at and we thought, wow, this is nice. You know, we'll keep this in mind. And we looked at other properties and we said, let's go back and look at that one again. And we drove back to this piece of property, and the realtor, who was also the owner, just happened to be there. And so when we pulled up, we got out of the car, we started talking to her. She had come to Hawaii from Colorado, so we had a lot of things in common there, and got talking, and you know, we told her what our financial constraints were in terms of selling property back in Colorado to be able to buy the property here. And she just said, well, whatever it is you need, just tell me. Tell me how much time you need, whatever. I'll take this property off the market and hold it for you. And she did. And that was what made it possible for us to acquire this piece of property. And and since then, we've learned that this really was the land that we're supposed to be on. It's where we're supposed to be to do our work.
And that's a great example of how strong the spirit, higher power, higher self, God guides and directs at the right moment, the right time, if you're willing to follow your heart. And that you two live that way. That's what you two did in coming here. You've done that a long time. Every time I visit with you, it's all about that. And in conclusion, I anything that you feel you would want to share and inspire the listener to.
Talk about the portals just a little bit. After we came on the land.
Kathy's mentioning about the portholes that came on your land. They were already there on your land. I know I sat and felt one of them, which is amazing.
Well, I believe that the portals were always there. It was just a matter of you know, being open enough to eventually, I hate using the word discover, but experience the energy from these portals. The one at the upper part of the land, Kathy was the first one to notice that. The one at the lower part of the land, I was actually out just doing some yard work. I was trimming bushes and cutting weeds and things like that. And in the midst of all of this, I just had this incredible vision of what was going on in that area. And I came back to the house to talk to Kathy, and I said, you know, it's pretty weird what happened down there. This is what I, you know, this is what I was seeing. And she says, oh, it's a portal. Just
so what's a portal for people who don't understand?
Well, the portal is an energy hub. It's sort of a source where energy flows very intensely through one particular area. The portal at the lower part of the land flows in a vertical direction, okay, down into the earth and up into the sky. The one that's in the upper part of the land flows horizontally out toward the ocean.
And so those are powerful spots for, again, transferring healing. What do you use those for? Access?
The energy that's there, I mean, each of them has a different kind of energy. Mm-hmm. The one that I work with mostly is the lower portal, and it has the energy that portal has is sort of reparative energy, where if you have sort of chaotic energy flowing through you and creating disruption, it has the ability to calm that chaos and put more order back into the energy flow so that it can flow more naturally through you. Mm-hmm. Rather than sort of bouncing around and getting stuck and things like that. Mm-hmm. And with that energy flowing through you, it's much easier to do the healing that you need to do, because everything is flowing at that, you know, maximum speed. Mm-hmm. And just sort of clearing up all of those little pockets of uncomfortableness within your energy field.
So if people listening, wherever they're at, they could sit and pray and meditate and think of those portholes from here to maybe some people have some somewhere else, but how, like, after sitting on them in one of my trips, one of the portals, that energy always stays with you, that goes with you.
Absolutely, and you'll connect back to where you're going. You'll take it back with you. Mm-hmm. You'll take that energy. And all of us, my understanding, at least I've been told in the last month, that all of us are where we need to be for the shift that's happening right now. And like you came out here at this time, and I think that's not anything to do with coincidence. I think because of what was happening energetically, this mm-hmm. is where you needed to be at that time. And everyone needs to look back to where they are because they're where they need to be and look around them. They can absolutely tap into the portals that we have here. They can also look around them. Go outside into nature. If you're having any kind of challenging episodes, go sit under a tree and ask the tree to help you. Ask Mother Earth to help you. Ground into Mother Earth and bring yourself back to balance. Nature has balance. I mean, look at the nautilus shell. Look at the spiral that's there. The bees, I mean, they're so in tune. And if you sit in nature, you're going to bring that balance back into your life. And look, it's kind of like they say that if you want honey, go to the bees that are around you, because the honey from that beehive is much better for you than the one from South America. And it's the same thing with the energy. Look at the energy that's around you. And if you're there for a reason, so that energy is the one that's going to connect with you. If you're in Denver, look at the energy in the, go up into the mountains and sit under an aspen grove and feel that coming into you. It is so beautiful, and it's there to help you. The trees, ask the trees, ask the sky, ask the nature spirits that are around you to help, because they are just waiting to help. I mean, there's all the beings that are down here, especially the nature spirits and the angels, are here waiting your request. And all you have to do is ask and it will be given.
Mm. Well, we're doing this podcast, I have another idea for any of the listeners, that there will be a podcast too with Kathy and Rich. They have so much to share. They have so much to offer. And the aloha, the love and the spirit that they have here on Maui and for all of you is very sacred and very powerful. And I want to thank them both for sharing on this one. And any of you listening, please share this podcast with anybody, any of your friends, any of your customers, any of your family. And we will be having a follow-up podcast, too, with Kathy and Rich as well, which will deal with a few more things specifically for anyone who is feeling stuck right now as well. And all the enlightenment and messages, direction, and help that is there for them. So I want to thank you, Kathy and Rich. And
our pleasure.
Mahalo. And talk with you again soon. Okay. Hello, my name is Judy Marie with Miracles of Health. I am still on the island of Maui and currently sitting with Kathy McDuff and Rich Lucas at Maui High High School. And Kathy McDuff is an energy worker who works with the central sun and source of such light, pure energy. And Rich, her husband, is an Arcturian healer. And we've described who they were. If you've missed their part one podcast, that has been already presented. I really encourage you to listen to that, how fascinating the information is, and to hear these intuitive, inspiring light workers. They are here to continue to help anybody and everyone on Maui and all over the planet. And so today, we're doing part two of a podcast, And thank you, Rich and Kathy, for being here and sharing again some more of the wisdom and helping people during this time of transition and ascension time. That the first thing you said to me, one of the first things when I met with you the other day, we are in it now. It is happening now. And you and I, we had just some good conversations recently, all three of us, and you asked me a question. You said, when was the first time you had felt an awakening? So I want you to ask that in your own words, and maybe to the listeners right now. That was a very important question. And I'd like you to, and I'll share what was my first time, but I'd like you to share why you're asking that and what that was for you.
Yeah, I think that's really important as you're starting, especially if you're just starting the path. As you get further along the path, it's not as important because you're going back into the now. But as you're trying to find your way into what's going to be the journey of your lifetime, it's an important thought. And when was the first time that you really felt this awakening starting to happen? Because that's important. We came down here, and we agreed when we came down to allow ourselves to not remember who we are. We allowed ourselves to enter into duality and to enter into the program of the matrix and to be told what to do and to be controlled. And we allowed ourselves to do that. Mm-hmm. And as you started to awaken, then you come out of that programming. And it's important to remember your first time and to make it a step that you're going to continue on and not go backwards in.
So, Kathy, do you remember your first time?
I do. It was in the late 70s, and I was in Denver, and I went to a program that I was called to participate in, and the person who was giving it turned out to be a very dear friend of mine. And in the first class, what she showed us how to do was how to meld yourself into concrete in the road that you're traveling, how to meld yourself into the trees and become one with them. And as you start to do this, you feel one with the tree, you feel one with the concrete, you feel the difference in the cellular structure of each one. And then as you feel into each one and meld into anything, into a living being, they're all living beings. The tree, the grass, everything is a living being. The pohakus, the rocks, they're living beings. And as you fill into them and you become one with them, your cellular structure starts to change. You lose that old 3D type of cell and you start to go and evolve higher and higher and higher because you realize you are limitless. Up until that point, you've been taught that you're in a box and you have limits, and we don't. We have no limits whatsoever. Nature knows this, and as we blend ourselves into other different types of entities and beings and whatever it is we want to blend with, then we realize that we have no limits.
Mm. Wow, I know I was really moved by that question, and I think that's going to be pretty important because there are going to be a lot of people who are having these immediate shifts. They're asking for the help. They're going to get information directly of where they're to be on their path, what it is for their journey. It may come in the most unexpected way. I know with myself, it happened about 30 years ago. I was in a doctor's office, ready to have another surgery. And it was the first time I ever directly heard a divine voice. And it said, Judy, no more. That was what I call my born-again moment. And that was when I chose to have the path without no more surgeries, no more medication. But more importantly, I was open to this whole other world of healing and herbs and health and wellness. And our awakening moments, there could be more than one, but they can... I really like the fact when you ask that is, anyone listening, what was your first one? If not, it's coming. And it can come in different forms. And Rich is going to share with us what it's been like for him along the way, but how things started with him.
Well, what Kathy said is correct. We spend years and years sort of being groomed to live in 3D. And it's a very pervasive kind of conditioning that we have, that we accept things without question. And, you know, I had always hoped that, there would be like a great flash of light and a voice from above, and, you know, that this would mark the transition from, you know, my old 3D into a newer, more spiritual life. But frankly, for me, it wasn't like that. It was kind of a gradual process. I've always been a very vivid dreamer when I go to sleep at night. But I started noticing that I was having dreams that had a much different quality to them. They were not only vivid, but they were present. It was not like dreaming. It was like going someplace and actually being there. And those dreams were giving me messages. I'll give you an example. When I was in my early 20s, I was living in Colorado. And one night I had a dream about my grandfather, a very vivid dream. He was in the hospital. He had a heart attack and he was dying. And I was trying to comfort him. And this was unusual for me. First of all, because of the quality of the dream, but also because I didn't often dream about specific people in my family or in my life. You know, the dreams were more wide-ranging than that. So I sort of, you know, wrote it off as sort of an anomaly. And then the next night I had another dream about my grandfather, who I was very close to. And then third night I had yet another dream. So at that point, they got my attention. I said, I've got to do something. So I called back to Illinois, where my parents lived. And my sister answered the phone. And I asked her, you know, if Mom or Dad were home. And she said, no, they're in Las Vegas. And I told her, I said, well, that's unusual. I didn't even know they were going to go to Las Vegas. Usually, you know, they would call and let me know something like that. And my sister said, well, they said they weren't planning on it, but Grandma and Grandpa were there. And Grandpa had a heart attack 3 nights ago. And all of a sudden, it became clear to me that there was information that was coming in that I needed to pay attention to. And so I started doing that. I started paying more attention to what was going on around me, and more attention to my dreams, and started seeing patterns. Certainly not as many patterns as I would like, but started to see patterns in things that were happening. And I realized that from those patterns, I could sort of tell whether I was on the right track or the wrong track, more so than just, you know, dealing with expectations, but, you know, just dealing with how I was feeling and what the quality of the information was that was coming into me. In Buddhist philosophy, they believe that your dreams are sort of a precursor of what your next lives are going to be like. That, if your dreams in this life are peaceful and joyful, then that's the life you're heading into. And conversely, if those dreams are chaotic and frightening, it means that you haven't done the work that you came into this life to do, and it's going to present itself again and again in future lives if you don't get back on the path and do the work that you chose to come here to do.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's very helpful, because a lot of people may be experiencing their awakenings through dreams. And and we talked about this term, the work that you're to be doing. Like, what we associate, or I do associate this being at work, being hard and painful and suffering and treacherous. It's, you know, how to communicate this for what the healing and the lessons people are here to awaken to. What does that mean?
Well, I guess the work is, you know, a term that has certain associations with it, but I think of it in this way. You know, when a surgeon operates on someone and saves their life, that's their work. Okay, when an artist creates a masterpiece that people for generations will enjoy, that's their work. But it doesn't mean that it has to be hard or uncomfortable or distasteful. It's just something that you have really put your soul into, you put your effort into, in hopes of making things better for yourself and for the people around you. So, you know, I tend to think of work as something that's more of a privilege than an obligation.
I like that.
And in today, in a lot of spiritual communities, people confuse the work, the spiritual work that they're doing, with the work that they're doing for their day job. And you may not be enjoying your day job, but you're saying, I need to do this because I need to continue to get money, and this is something I hate going to, and I don't really enjoy it. And that doesn't mean that you're not doing your spiritual work at night. You can still be doing a day job for the money to get by, and you're doing your real work, your spiritual work at night. And what you need to do is change your focus. Your day job is the one you're going to because you need the money to pay the rent, which is not going to be much longer. Very, very soon, everything is shifting over and we're going to be taken care of as we're supposed to be. It is our divine right to abundance. And that's been taken from us because we believe that we're not in a position to where we're not deserving it. That's what we've been taught. That the rich are the ones who have all the money and we don't, or are the ones in power are the ones that are to be telling us what to do. And that's only because we've been programmed, and all of that's shifting. And so the work that you're doing during the day to get your money, that's fine. Just let yourself enjoy it. Don't be caught up in that who you are, because that's not who you are. You're not the person who's delivering garbage. You're helping everyone. You're helping humanity by taking care of that. And that's something that needs to be done. And that's not anything about who you are. Who you are is the work you're doing usually at night. It's sometimes during the day, but it's more typically at night. And to start with, it's usually when you're asleep. I personally do all of my work at night awake. I'm up most of the night, and I do the energy that's come. It flows through me, and it goes out through my hands. It goes out through my heart. It goes out through my feet, and it radiates out. Sometimes I can see it. Sometimes I can't. I stay in my heart because it's not my intent that's supposed to change this energy. It's pure energy flowing through me. And there's certain people, after you've done it for a long time, you can do it while you're awake. But you may be doing the exact same thing at night while you're asleep. Because while you're asleep, you don't have your brain and your ego coming in to transform that energy into something else. It comes through you pure. And eventually you'll be able to do it as well when you're awake. But that's your real work. That's the work we each came down to do, and it's for humanity. It's for one, and it's beautiful. And that's why, as you noticed, especially in the last 20 years, everything has shifted, because we're all coming in to do that work that we came to do. And the dark is gone, and the light has prevailed. It's already happened. It doesn't have to happen. It has already happened. As soon as we all agree to that, then there's no more dark at all. The only dark that's hanging on right now is because we're allowing it to. And that's going to shift so quickly. And it's going to, like, one day it will be there and the next day it won't. And right now it's kind of an amusement on my part, as I'm watching the dark, because I know it's not real. I know that negative emotions like anger and fear are not real. They're just made up. And I can sit and since I know energy so well, I can see that someone who's going through an anger spurt, and I can see the color and what it looks like when they're doing that. And as I'm watching them, I realize that the energy that they're sending out there is through their mind. The second that you talk to them and say, just switch to your heart, just think in your heart, the entire color around them changes. But whereas before it was a dark, murky color, and all of a sudden the second that they switch to their heart, it's light, and it just flows through them. And you can see the difference in their face, you can see the difference in their body language and everything else. And that's what happens at night, because you don't have the ego. Let go of your ego and step into who you really are, and your day job won't be needed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things Kathy said about focus, I think, is really important, and it sort of goes to an important lesson that I learned here on Maui, and it has to do with expectations. You know, because we live in this time-centered cause-effect reality, we are constantly creating expectations for ourselves, and we believe that if you do A, then B will result. And what happens is, if B doesn't result, then you are disappointed, because disappointment is really just the failure to achieve up to the expectations that you have. And so, of course, the question becomes, well, what happens if you're able to free yourself from expectations? And I spoke to a Hawaiian kapuna named Uncle Ed Lindsay, just a beautiful, wonderful man. Ed was so kind and so sharing with his knowledge of Hawaiian culture. And one day I sat down with Uncle Ed and I said, you know, Uncle Ed, can you explain to me the concept of pono, which is a Hawaiian word? And generally people think pono means do the right thing. And so I asked Uncle Ed for some insight into that. And he said, well, as with most Hawaiian concepts, it's not quite that simple. He says, of course it means to do the right thing. He said, but it also means to do it in the right way, and to do it for the right reason. So it's a combination of doing the thing and doing it properly and doing it with good intention. And I thought, you know, that really goes to the Buddhist concept of right action, where our obligation is to just do what is correct, okay? And that's the extent of our obligation. So if you take pono and right action and you put them together, essentially what comes out of it is that if you do the right thing and you do it in the right way and you do it with the right intention, then you have no responsibility for what the result is, because whatever the result is will be perfect. It will be exactly what it needs to be in the universe. And so you don't have to worry about getting blamed for the result, but you also are not allowed to take credit for the result, because it just is. And if the more we can act in that way and not burden ourselves with expectations, and then, you know, either the thrill of victory or the tragedy of defeat when things don't turn out the way we expected them to, then our spirit is so freed up to just focus on the action itself, focus on acting in the right way and doing what we are supposed to do, and trusting that the result from all of that, in ways that often we don't understand, is still perfect.
Mm. Wow. Wow. I love that. That's super inspiring.
Which is the basis behind the Hawaiian ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So now I want to talk about the importance of taking care of our health. The importance of, I know, Rich, you do fasting every so often. And Kathy and I, we were talking about the importance of detoxifying, taking care of our health. Every cell of our body wants wellness. It has at its core health, healing, perfection. And let me get your opinion on this. Kathy.
That's actually how I do healing. Rich is the healer. I just send light out to do the healing and let the person heal themselves. And what I do is exactly that. I send light into the person, which goes in and detoxifies the cells that are in the body, and any that have any type of dis-ease in it, you pull that out and you take it out, and first you clear them completely, and then you just put light in and fill up any vacuum with light, and that's exactly who you are, because you're perfection. And the things that have given us disease are the things that we have allowed to come into us and believe that they have come into us, and they have transformed the cells that are in our body or taken them over. And when you go in to heal yourself, first of all, don't allow yourself to believe that something has gotten control of your body, because nothing has control over your body. And the pure medicines and the pure herbs that are growing, that are part of Mother Earth, that she has put out here for our benefit, which is what you use in your tinctures and you use in your creams that is part of your work. Those are the things that nature has provided to come in and to realign our bodies and to heal them.
That's probably the part that can, I have no doubt, inspires me to keep working with the Pura Cleanse, the herbs, because vibrationally, you know, supporting the light, the healing, the detoxifying, but raising the vibration. The body heals from the head down. It detoxifies from the head down and will flush everything out, mind, body, spirit, and open up the heart and the purification. Easier to go through ascension, easier to go through shifting density or dimensions, as we might refer to it. The purer, the lighter the body is energetically, less toxic it is. And any feedback or opinion you have, Rich, with that?
Well, ultimately we are spirit, all right? And we have a body, a vessel that's been given to us so that we can interact in 3D. And there are a lot of things that we encounter in our lives that we're given responsibility for. You know, if you have a house, you repaint it now and then. You know, you clean the gutters, you go and do repairs to it. If you have a car, you wash it, you tune it up, you take care of it. And it's the same with our body. We have a responsibility if we want to continue to interact in 3D inside this vessel, to take care of this vessel as well. I mean, it used to be that healers were also teachers. And, you know, when a student goes to a teacher and says, can you explain to me this particular concept? Often a teacher would not sit down and explain it to the student. The teacher would give the student a task and say, go do this or go do that, and give them a task that would allow them to discover what the problem was on their own, rather than just having it explained. And healers, in the same way, you know, would talk to people about how they're living, the kind of foods they're eating, would give them herbal supplements to help their body get into a more balanced state. We largely don't do that in Western medicine. And it's not the fault of Western medicine. It's a combination of Western medicine and those of us who have grown up with it and what our expectations are. And our expectations have largely been, I don't want a lecture. I don't want to talk to you about my lifestyle. Give me a pill and make this go away. And we're getting away from that. We're seeing in alternative medicine, the healers are actually engaging the person and their lifestyle. And they're helping them come to realizations that will assist them in healing themselves. They'll talk to them about nutrition, about exercise, about the kinds of things that they're exposed to. And it's not just about coming in from the outside and making something better. It's starting, as you said, Judy, from the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we start with our head and through our system, and we clean out the things that are causing this imbalance within us. And in the process of that, I think we become aware of a much more beautiful life than we had before we came to those realizations. Mm-hmm. Because we become the source of our health. We sort of become a partner with ourselves in enabling our body to live the life that our spirit was sent here to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. Well put.
While Rich was talking, some interesting information came to me that I guess I'm supposed to pass on. Mm-hmm. The work that I do, sometimes I work, the energy that goes through me comes from the central sun, which is very sacred, and it passes through. But occasionally, not that often, but occasionally, I work directly with source energy. And it's a process that I have to go through to work directly with source. And I have to go into my heart. I cannot have any intent, any ego, or anything else. But the interesting part is, once I'm directly working and I'm interacting with source energy, everything is so light. It's like I have no gravity on me at all. And my hands that are moving through, because my hands move a lot, and I can literally pass through my hands. And I feel like there's nothing pulling me down. The gravity has no effect on me whatsoever. And what that is telling me now is that that's the pure energy. And this enlightenment is not just light coming in. It's lesser density. The more density that we have, the lower we are in health-wise. And as you're feeling heavy, then you've got something that you need to work with in your body. As your body starts to lighten up, then you're letting go of all of that. And so enlightenment is also bringing the light into your body and taking the density out. And the right herbs and the right medicines and the right intent, your body will feel lighter, because it is lighter, and you're heading back to the light. That's why eventually, when we turn back into our light bodies, we won't need food. We will be living on light, and that's why it's so important to get the toxins out of your body, because they're the ones that are weighting us down.
Wow. Very well put from both of you. I just resonate with that. I hope these messages, I know these messages and words of wisdom will support many of you out there, and which I hope it opens up more questions, you know, as well for all of you. And if you have any questions in particular with Kathy and Rich's podcast, the first one, please go back and listen to it. Definitely this one. This is exciting. This is absolutely exciting times of what we're living in, and looking at this as fabulous, fantastic opportunities to keep shifting the energy and into the source of light is what we're talking about. Anything you two have in mind, anything you want to share before we close up our podcast for today? Again, we're at Maui High School on the island of Maui here with Kathy McDuff and Rich Lucas. Just how inspiring, the amazing light workers they are.
Well, I think the most important thing is to just trust your instinct. Every person has such a wealth of knowledge that they've brought with them into this life, that we need as much as possible to try to tap into that vault of knowledge that we brought with us, and particularly to trust it, to just know that we know, and not try to judge what we know based upon what we see externally, but to just know that that wisdom is sacred, that it's, you know, something that was shared with us so that we could be happy, so that we could enjoy this life, and that we could engage with others in a constructive way. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid of information that you're getting that doesn't seem in your 3D rationalizations to be helpful. Just trust it and engage it and go with it. And I think you will be surprised at how much you already know.
Mm. Mm. And ask your higher selves. They're ready. They have been holding back, but right now I have been told that if you ask them, they will not only tell you what your mission is, they will answer truthfully with transparency any questions that you have.
Mm. Wow. Well, thank you both so much for giving your time today, and that we can share these messages with so many, and look forward to interviewing and talking with you again soon. And all of you who are listening to this podcast, again, please feel free to share it, email it, text it to anybody that you think would benefit from this as well. Give us any of your feedback too, and questions that you may have, so we can keep answering and supporting the effort of this magnificent awakening process that's happening on the planet right now. And again, thank you, mahalo. And till we talk again.
Well, Judy, thank you for visiting us. It's always such a pleasure to have a chance to sit down with you, and, you know, to just share thoughts and our energies. And we look forward to doing this again really soon.
Thank you.
And Maui welcomes you and says thank you.
Thank you.